today's daf is Becharos daf Yud Aleph. We left off on daf, Elisha left off on daf Yud Amud Beis. What did you say, four lines from the end of the page? Yeah, so at Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah. Okay, so first of all, today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and we again thank him very much for the continued sponsorship. And also I want to thank Alicia for giving the shiur over the last 5 days while I was not here. So we are going to pick up, again, four lines from the end of the page, and Daf Yudam Beis with the Gemara is discussing, and we're going to continue to discuss, is how much a person, we've been discussing Pidyon Petach Hamar, so you put the Petach Hamar with a seh. Is there a certain minimum value that seh has to have in order to be poda a Petach Hamar with it? The Gemara is also going to discuss being poda b'shavyo, a totally different type of Pidyon. When you poda Hamar with a seh, the seh is not worth the same amount as the Hamar. It certainly doesn't have to be worth the same amount as the Hamar. But there's another option we're going to discuss of being poda b'shavyo, taking something of equal value to the Hamar and being poda with that. The Gemara is also going to discuss if someone other than the owner of the Hamar does the pidyon, so who gets to keep the chamar? Is it the person who did the pidyon that gets to keep the chamar, or is it the owner that gets to keep the chamar? And then we're going to discuss a line in the Mishnah where the Mishnah had said that there's some sort of case of meiser behema on the seh that was used for pidyon petach chamar. Well, when would that ever happen, that there's a case of meiser behema on the seh that's used for pidyon petach chamar? Because that seh goes to the Kohen, so you would imagine that there is no Maiser Behema. Where do you ever have a situation where the Yisrael is going to keep the Seh, and therefore there's going to be Maiser Behema on the Seh that is used for Pidyon Petach Hamar? On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about what happens if you give your Peiros, let's say your Peiros are already Misukanim, you already took Shemus HaMaiser Shalem, or it's Peiros Shavias, or whatever, you give Peiros as a Pikadon to a Kuti, to an Amaretz, to an Akum, do you have to assume that they might have switched it, and that you now have to take into account whatever responsibilities you might have toward those payros if they are not the payros that you gave to him? Or can you assume that no, whatever you gave to him is probably what he gave back to you when you give it to him as a pikadon? And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss the case that the Mishnah allows hana'ah from the sheep after it dies. The Mishnah says that the seh, after it dies, you're allowed to get hana'ah from. So either that's not a chiddush at all, or it's some other case other than the typical case of when you gave the seh to the Kohen, because of course Kohen's allowed to get hana from the seh as soon as you give it to him. It's mamono shel Kohen. Why would it be a chiddush that he's allowed to get hana from it after it dies? So let's actually back up a couple of lines to a little bit of a better starting point. Amar Mar. So the Bryce had said, Tifta miyat. So tifta means even within 30 days of its birth, you're allowed to do the pidyon. And tifta kol shehu. Tifta means that you're allowed to be poda the chamar with a seh, even if the seh is just worth a kol shehu. Because that's our real introduction to the topic. Right? That tifta can work even be kol shehu. Even with a seh, that's not worth all that much. So it says more pshita. Obviously, you could be poda chamar even betok shloshim yom from its birth, and even with a seh, that's worth a kol shehu. Because the Torah never said otherwise. The Torah never said that there's a minimum value of the set. The Torah never said that there's a minimum age of the chamar. So it says, no, it's a chiddush, because salka taita chamina, hold the iskish l'b'char adam, since there's a hekish that the Torah draws between petach chamar and b'char adam. Why? Because the pasuk says, ach pado tifteh es b'char ha'adam, that's b'char b'ayim ha'tameh tifteh. So b'char b'ayim ha'tameh is only petach chamar, b'char ha'adam is obviously pidyon ha'ben, so there is this hekish in the pasuk between the two, so I would have assumed, ma b'char ha'adam achar shloshim v'chamesh, just like b'char ha'adam is only after the baby's 30 days old, and you do it with 5 shkalim, sahaynami achar shloshim v'chamesh, so too by petach chamar, it should be only after the baby's 30 days, after the chamar is 30 days old, and it has to be dafka with something worth 5 shkalim. That's what I would have thought. So kamash shemlan, tifta miyad, tifta kol shu. That's why the Bryce has to tell me that tifta can happen right away, as soon as the chamar is born, and kol shu can be with the seh that's worth even a kol shu. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah Omer, ain't p'tiyah p'chusim yishekel. There's a minimum value of the, it's not 5 shkalim, but there's a minimum value of the seh for petach chamar, and that is 1 shekel. It says, well, that doesn't make any sense. Where would you get 1 shekel from? If you buy into the hekesh that we just quoted, and you don't think there's a kamash malan, you think that the hekesh is binding, is valid, so then it should be chamesh kalim. And if you don't hold of the hekesh, you hold like our maskana, like our kamash malan, then you shouldn't even need a shekel either. Then it should be even a kolshu. So it says, we're not holding of the hekesh. We're not bound to the hekesh that's made by the Torah between Petr Chamar and Bukhar Adam, but rather Amar Rava, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says when someone is Mechayiv himself to Hegdish using an Erech type of vow, what the entire Mesechus Arachim is about, and he says Erech Yolai or Erech Ploni Yolai, so the halach is V'kol Erech Chayyeh B'Shekel HaKodesh, the Torah says. So what does that mean? Kol Arachim Shatamarich Lo Yubchus M'Shekel. Anytime you make an Erech, it has to be at least a Shekel. Anytime you're Poda, it also has to be no less than a shekel. So too, the set of Pidyon Petra Chamar is included in that pasuk. Even though the pasuk is about arachin, but it really means any time you're fulfilling some sort of obligation you have toward Kodesh, so it has to be a Pidyon, has to be at least a shekel. V'Rabbanan, how are the Rabbanan going to explain why they think it's a kolshu and that you don't need a minimum of a shekel? So they'll say very simply, Hahu, that pasuk that says, Kol Erech Chayyeh B'Shekel HaKodesh, Behesag Yad Ksiv, was said only within the parsha of Arachin, that someone who's mechayiv himself to Hekdesh by saying Erki Alai, Erech Ploni Alai, so he has to give the Erech, the assigned value of himself or the person that he had identified to Hegdish. But if he doesn't have any money to pay the Erech that he's chayiv, so then he has to assess how much, the Kohen has to assess how much he can afford, and that's what he pays. But if the Kohen assesses that he could pay less than a shekel, he doesn't pay that. Because of a kol Erech chayiv b'shekel HaKodesh, meaning there are assigned values that he has to give, but the Torah is talking about a case where he can't do that. He doesn't have that kind of money, so then at the very minimum, it has to be a shekel HaKodesh. But by Pidyon Petra Chamar with a seh, you could be Poda with whatever the seh is worth. That pasuk has nothing to do with our parsha of Pidyon Petra Chamar. Amar Rav Nachman halacha k'divrei chachamim. Rav Nachman says halacha, we pask in tifta kol shehu, that it doesn't have to be a shekel. We pask in chachamim, whatever the seh is worth, it's perfectly fine for Pidyon Petra Chamar. V'kama, and how much does it have to be worth? So Amar Rav Yosef afilu pitruza bardanka, even a very weak sheep that's only worth 1/6 of a dinar, which is the equivalent of a ma'a kesef, that would be good enough. Amar Rava afananami tanina gadol v'katan. Yeah, that's why our Mishnah said that you could be poda with any seh, whether it be gadol v'katan, tamim balmum, it could be big, small, it could even be a balmum. So it sounds like even a seh that is katan v'kafush, even a seh that is very weak. Now it's very interesting. We had said kol shuv, right? So then the Gemara says, how much is a kol shuv? So I would have said kol shuhu, right? The whatever value. But the Gemara all of a sudden applies a value. A patruza bardanka, a weak animal that's worth one ma'a kesef, 1/6. Of a dinar. So in the Rashi's Bikurim, he discusses whether afilu is dafka over here, that it's ad shir zeh, but not anything less than it, or maybe it means even a kol shuhu, and we're just picking the smallest imaginable amount that a sheep could possibly ever be worth. But really, it could be poda, even if you were to manage to find a sheep that was worth less than that, that would work as well. So Minchas Chinuch discusses this as well in Mitzvah Chaf Beis. So says Gemara, Pshita, so isn't it Pashut that according to the Chum, you can use such a cheap seh, because Chum said kol shuhu. So Gemara, no, ma'ad tema kule hai lo, I might have thought, such a cheap seh? That they're not going to go so far to allow that, even if it's only worth a ma'a kesef. Inami patruzalo, or maybe the chiddush is not the value, but the fact that we're saying that it's a patruza, that it's a very weak sheep. So kamash milan, that's why Rav Yosef has to tell me that according to the Chum, when they say kol shu, they are serious. It could be something that has very little value. It could be something that's a very shvacha sheep. Rav Yudin Asiyah havalei Petr Chamar. Rav Yudin Asiyah had a situation of Petr Chamar. Shadrei lekamei de Rabbi Tarfon. So he sent the Chamar to ask Rabbi Tarfon, Amarlei, kama bina lemes of the Kohen. How much does the sheep that I give to the Kohen in place of this animal, how much does it have to be worth? That's the way Tosfos understands in Dibur HaMaskil Hilchsa what his Shaila was. The Rambam in Hilchos Bikurim, Parakid Beis, Halachah Yud Aleph, quotes the answer of Rabbi Tarfon to be in relation to that not the halacha of being poda b'seh, but being poda b'shavya, which is going to be the next sugya in the Gemara. If you're not going to use a seh, so you're going to use something that's of the value of the chamar, so he was just asking for an honest assessment. How much is this chamar worth? So if I'm going to be poda b'shavya. But let's assume, like the simple pshat of the Gemara, that he was asking about using a seh. So Amar Leis, Rabbi Tarfon said back to the shliach of Rabbi Dinasiya, Hare Amru, Ayin Yafe, b'sela, Ayin Ra'a b'shekel, Beninis b'rigya. That if you're going to be somewhat generous when you're poda, then it should be a sela. If you're going to be not generous at all, then it's going to be a shekel. And if you're going to be of average generosity, then it should be worth a rigya. So Amar Rava Hilchasa b'rigya. The halacha is that you need to be poda with an animal, with a sheep that's worth a rigya. V'kama, what's a rigya? That is not a common term that we find throughout Shas to define an amount of money. So says Gemara, yeah, because it's not really an amount of money. It's a word that tells me that it's something in between. Tzlasa zuzi. It's technically worth 3 zuz, and the word rigya means ragilacha v'ragilacha, that it's close to this denomination and close to that denomination, meaning it's less than a sela, more than a shekel. So it's like being pulled between a sela and a shekel. A sela is 4 zuzim, a shekel is 2 zuzim, so a rigya is 3 zuzim, right? It's right in the middle. So it says, okay, that's the halacha. So kasha hilchsa hilchsa. So now we just pask in 2 different things. Rav Nachman said that the halacha is like the chamim, that kolshu. Now Rav is saying that you're poda b'rigya. So that sounds like it's not a kolshu, that we're makbid, that it be 3 dinarim. Says more lo kasha. Kan bibali malech, kan ba'osame atzmo. Big difference. The halacha that you're poda b'rigya is if someone asks the shayla. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya sent to ask the shayla to Rabbi Tarfon, how much should the sheep be worth? So then we say, you know what, you should do it right, do it with 3 zuzim. But when the halacha that you could do kolshu is where he doesn't ask how much it's worth or how much he should use, he just is poda with the seh. So we don't. So that's good enough. Whatever the seh is worth is going to be good enough. We're not going to demand any minimum value for the seh that he's being poda. Okay. Now this Gemara is used in a discussion of whether there should be Petach Hamor Bizman Hazeh. The Bir Agra writes in Yerideh Siman Shin Chaf Aleph that this is a makor for the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Chaf Aleph paskins that Petach Hamor is noig b'kol zman. How do you see from this Gemara that Petach Hamor is noig b'kol zman? Rabbi Yudinasi and Rabbi Tarfon lived after the Chorban Abayis. So you see that Petach Hamor was still being done after Chorban Abayis, even when there were no karbanos. So this is a raya that you still do Petach Hamor based on the time period that they lived. In the Sefer Derech Pikudecha, says that he never saw Begola, anyone who's Mekayim, this mitzvah. He never saw in Golos that people are Mekayim, this mitzvah. And he says it could be that the reason is because we don't have a Kohen Miyuchas anymore, and any Kohen that's a Suffolk, that maybe he's not a Kohen Miyuchas, any Kohen that you have is automatically a Suffolk that he's not a Kohen Miyuchas, so who are you going to give the set to? The fact that we do Pidyon HaBen, and we do Chamesh Shloim, and we give that to a kohen, that's a different story that we're willing to do Pidyon HaBen even without a kohen miyuchas, because there's no chashash kilkul, meaning what's going to happen if you do Pidyon HaBen. Over here, you're going to think you patered your chamar, but you didn't really, and then you're going to treat this chamar like it's regular chulin, and you get ana and giza and avoda, whatever else, well, not giza, but whatever you do with the chamar, you're going to use it for avoda, and it's going to be a real problem, because it's not really going to be, it's going to be a michshal in the chamar. So that's what the Sefer Derech Pikudecha suggests. So he says, the Achronim are not so pleased with that comment of the Derech Pikudecha, because they point out that that's not really the way Petach Hamor works. In the Sefer Vayashav Moshe, he says that the Derech Pikudecha says that if you're poda the Petach Hamor and you give the seh to someone who's not a Kohen, so then it's also to be Mishlamish B'chamor. He says that's not true. There's no Achrayus on the seh. I mean, there's 2 dinim. There's the din of the Pidyon, and then there's the din of the Nesina. The Pidyon works even if you don't do the Nesina. He has such a comment in the Sefer Vayashav of Moshe, has such a comment about the Derech Pikudecha. He says that Hakadosh Ba'omko al Iske Kedushaso lo dak behilchos v'halachos kol kach. He was such a kadosh, he was so involved in Inyanei Kedusha, that he wasn't being so makbid in understanding all the halacha. I don't know what that means, but I guess it's a polite way of saying that he missed an obvious halacha in Hilchos Petach Hamor. So they try to figure out, but Pashtus is, l'chara that it does apply b'zman hazeh. And Shubas van Hagels, which Sturmbach discusses, he was asked why we're not knowing to be mahader, to work, to try to buy a donkey, get a, you know, buy an animal that's mevakeres, so that you'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Petach Chamar. And he says that that there was a Jew in Yerushalayim who was mekayim pidyon Petach Chamar, and it was a big deal. It was bepumbi, it was besimcha. They did it, like I'm sure that you saw, there were videos going around of pidyon Petach Chamar recently that was done by the Kleisenberger Hasidim in Netanya, and there was another one by Sfardim in Yerushalayim. So they've done it recently. I assume it's not a coincidence that they chose to do it just right now as we're starting Becharos. But he said, but Rav Shmuel writes, I never heard of people who are medaktikim, even people who are very careful to try to do mitzvahs, to try to do whatever mitzvahs they can, to be mishtadil, to do this mitzvah. And he says, and don't give me this business that there's a no kohen miyuchas, because even without a nesina l'kohen, he points out exactly what we just said, without a nesina l'kohen, you could still do the pidyon. And there's no chashash michshol whatsoever. So he says, it could be that any mitzvah where the gedder of the mitzvah is to be meisir michshol, then there's no hider to be mechad. Meaning sometimes you have a mitzvah where the maisa itself is inherently valuable, and sometimes the value of the mitzvah is that it removes an isser. It's almost like, it's like a matir. It takes away a michshal that we would otherwise stumble with. So maybe when the nature of the mitzvah is only to be meisir a michshal, says Rav Shturmbach, maybe there's no inyan to be mahadir to do that mitzvah. All you need to do is remove that michshal. Make sure that you don't have that michshal. So how do we make sure we don't have that michshal? We avoid the situation entirely. You sell it to a guy or whatever we do in order to avoid inyanim of Bechorah. So he thought that maybe there's no inyan of Dafka being Mahader to look for such a mitzvah, at least as a way of being matstik. What seems to be the Minhag Yisrael is that no one looks for such a mitzvah. Okay, so Gemara now discusses the next case. Amar Bitzikom Reish Lakish. Mishe Yeshol Petach Hamar Ve'en Lo Selef Doso Podeh B'Shavyo. If a person has Petach Hamar, but he doesn't have a set to be Podeh with, he could be Podeh instead with the actual value of the chamor. Beis Yosef is medayek. Why does he only say that you could do this if you don't have a seh? It sounds like l'chadchila you're supposed to be poda with a seh and not supposed to be poda b'shavyo. It's just a pidyaved. If you don't have a seh, then you can be poda b'shavyo. That's how it sounds if you only read this line of Gemara. The majority of achronim do not understand that way, and that's because of the hemshech of the Gemara. So that's Gemara l'man. Elim the Rabbi Yehuda, if we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda who holds that the Petach Hamar is Asr Bahana'a, Ha'amar Hikpida Lav Torah, Beseh. Rabbi Yehuda, Ula already said that the reason for Rabbi Yehuda Asring Bahana'a is because the Torah is Makbid to Dafka use a Seh. So it sounds like it cannot be Poda B'Shavya, that has to be a Seh. Ella the Rabbi Shimon. It must be that this whole chiddush of Reish Lakish is within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the Petach Hamar prior to Pidyon is Mutar Ba'anah. So you could say that the Torah was not makbid to use a say. You could be poda with whatever the Hamar is worth. Ravacha Masniyachi. Ravacha taught Reish Lakish the way the Gemara explained it up until this point, that we're speaking within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that Petach Hamar is Mutar Ba'anah prior to the Pidyon, and therefore you can use Shavyo as well. But Ravina, Ravina was bothered by saying that Reish Lakish is going to say this chiddush only within Shitas Rabbi Shimon for two reasons. First of all, Rabbi Rabbi Shimon Allah Rabbi Yehuda. First of all, whenever you have machlokes Rabbi Shimon, we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon. Second of all, the Sasam Lantana Rabbi Yehuda, the Stam Tana of our Mishnah assumes like Rabbi Yehuda because it says you have to be mafresh tleh on a suffik Petach Hamar, and we said that you're mafresh in order to be mafkia the Isra Hana'a that the Petach Hamar has mechayim. Who holds as an Isra Hana'a? Rabbi Yehuda holds as an Isra Hana'a. So the Stam Tana assumes like Rabbi Yehuda. And now Reish Lakish is going to tell me a chiddush within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that you could be poda b'shavyo. No, why would we assume like Rabbi Shimon? Ella, so says Ravina, filutema Rabbi Yehuda. We can even assume that we're saying this within Rabbi Yehuda, that a Petach Hamar can still be poda b'shavyo. Lo yehe chamor min ha-hegdish, because after all, Petach Hamar shouldn't be any more chamor than hegdish. Lamra Torah b'sel, lahachmir alav, ella lahak ella alav. Just like hegdish, you could be poda b'shavyo, you could be poda Petach Hamar b'shavyo as well. Aye, what's the whole business with the seh? The seh is a kula, that if your chamor is worth $100 and your seh is worth $20, you're still allowed to use a seh. If you're being poda b'shavu, you better be poda with $100 worth. That's what. So once we have that, once we have that perspective, so then the initial line of the Gemara, mi sheyesh lo peta chamor vein lo seh liftoso peta b'shavu. The reason the Gemara says that you're poda b'shavu only when you don't have a seh is for your own benefit. Meaning you would prefer, of course, to be poda with a seh, because a seh you can get away with only paying $20 for a $100 chamor. Whereas if you're not going to do it with a seh, okay, so then you'll have to do b'shavu. Then you'll have to do. But it may not be telling me that it's only a b'diavad, that really the lechachili you're supposed to use seh. It could just be for your wallet. It's a b'diavad. But as far as halacha is concerned, that it's not a b'diavad. But nevertheless, Beis Yosef understands that it's mamish only a b'diavad. Rav Nachum brings Rav Yosef parakli b'shulki b'shavu. And now even more mashma against the Beis Yosef, Rav Nachum brings Rav Yosef would be poda with cooked vegetables that are worth the value of the chamar. I mean, you could use anything that's worth the actual value of the chamar. Okay, so that is that's that discussion. So now it says Gemara, Amrav Shizvi Amrav Huna, Hapoda Petach Chamar Shel Chaveiro Pidyono Paduri. If a person is Poda Petach Chamar, but it's not his Chamar, it's someone else's Chamar, so that works. You can do that. You can be Poda someone else's Chamar. So Yibayilu, Pidyono Lapoda, Odilma Pidyono Labayilu. Who gets the Chamar? The one who did the Pidyon or the owner of the Chamar? Does he get to keep his Chamar now? So I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon Lotibayilu. Well, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no Shaila, because Rabbi Shimon had said that Petra Chamar prior to Pidyon is Mutar Ba'ana, which means it belongs to the owner. So there's no way that someone else can come along, be poded for a seh, and then take away the Chamar that the owner was using up until this point. Once he says that it's Mutar Ba'ana, obviously belongs to the Bailim. Kiti Bailach Alib Rabbi Yehuda. The whole Shaila is only within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Damar Asr Ba'ana. Rabbi Yehuda had said that it's Asr Ba'ana prior to Pidyon. So the Shaila then becomes Lehektish Midah. Do we compare Petach Chamar to Hegdish? V'rachmana Amar v'nasna kesef kam lo, and we have a gzeres hakasef by Pidyon Hegdish that when you give the money, so then you get in return, you get the item of Hegdish. So anyone who gives money to Hegdish to be poda an object, that object now becomes his. So if I'm poda this chamar for a seh, even though it's not my chamar, that chamar should now become mine. Odilma, kivin dekani lu beni beni, or maybe since the owner of the petach chamar is going to be the one that's he's going to be kona the difference in value between the seh and the chamar, lo dami l'hegdish. That's not at all like hegdish, because when I'm poda something from hegdish, I'm paying its actual value to hegdish. But over here, I'm being poda a $100 chamar for a $20 seh. So that's too good of a deal. I shouldn't be able to do that, and therefore the chamar should go back to the bailim who already has a chelik in the chamar prior to the pidyon. So I'm Rav Nachman Tashma. We're going to bring one raya to be poshet this shaila. The brisa says hagonev petach chamar shel chaver misham tashum kefil lebailim. That if a person steals someone else's petach chamar, he pays kefil to the bailim because the petach chamar is considered to be mammon of the bailim. V'yafal pi she'ein lo achshav, and even though the bailim right now has no real use of the Petach Chamar, because he's not allowed to use the Petach Chamar prior to being podit, he's still got to pay kefil for stealing it, because ultimately it will become his. So now, what are we assuming over here when we're saying that right now he cannot use it, but eventually it will be his money? Which sheet of Tanoim are we assuming like? Ilem Rabbi Shimon, if we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon, that the Petach Chamar is Mutar Ba'ana, can be used prior to the Pidyon, Samai Ein Lo Achshav, then that phrase, that Ein Lo Achshav, that right now, prior to the Pidyon, the owner has no use for it, is inaccurate. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, sure he does. He's allowed to use it as much as he wants. El Pshita Rabbi Yehuda, it must be that this price is speaking within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that the Petach Chamar is Asr Ba'ana prior to Pidyon. And if you're going to assume that it's just like Hektish, that whoever pays for the Pidyon gets the Chamar, then it should not be that you have to pay Kefil for stealing it from the Bailim, because the Pasuk by Kefil is V'gunav mi beis ha'ish amar achmana, that you only pay Kefil when you steal it from the house of the owner, V'lo mi beis Hektish, but not when you steal it from Hektish. If Petach Chamar is already considered Hektish according to Rabbi Yehuda, then the halacha should have been that you don't have to pay kefil. You only pay keren because that's what you pay when you steal from Egdish. V'sulamidi. So then there's nothing else to discuss. V'sulamidi, you wouldn't have to add a kefil on top of the keren payment. Okay, good. So since the Brisa says you pay kefil, we see very clearly that Petach Hamar is not like Egdish. It's considered to be Mamon Bailim. And if it's considered to be Mamon Bailim, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you cannot get Hana'ah from it, the guy who is Poda it does not get to keep it. It goes right back to the Bailim, not to the fellow who is Poda it. Tosos in Dibra Maschla Poda writes that even the Gabi Tori Mishalo El Shel Chavero, if a person takes Truma for someone else, the Gemara Maseches Nedarim has a discussion, do you need to do it Midas HaBailim? Right over here, we're talking about you're being Poda someone else's Petach Hamar, L'chor, you're doing him a big favor. Right? You're volunteering the said that's going to be Poda the Chamar, certainly the Maskana Sagavar, that the owner of the Chamar gets to keep it. Right? So are you allowed to do that just stun? The guy never asked you to do it. I'm just going to be Poda, his Petach Hamar. So the Sugi and the Dharm discusses when you do someone a favor of taking Truma from his stuff, do you need to do Midas Bailim? So by Truma, yeah, it does have to be Midas Bailim because the Gemara darshan's from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kain Tarimu Gam Atem, and the Gemara Mamatsiya Davchav Beis darshan's from the word Gam L'Rabo Shluchachem, and darshan's from Atem, Ma Atem L'Daitchem, Av Shluchachem L'Daitchem. That just like when you take Truma, it's because you are consciously interested in taking Truma, so too, if someone else is going to do it for you, it has to be with your Das. So if you take Truma, Shalomi Das Habailim, the Truma is not valid at all. But by Pidyon Petach Hamar, the Torah never says that it's totally in the Bailim, so you could be Poda without the Das Bailim. That's how Tosus points out. Mishal Melech just wonders that the Din of Shulch Shon Kamoso is derived from Truma. So if we're going to say that by Truma, the Reboy of the Pasuk Gamatem tells us that it's got to be Ledatchem, so any time there's any Shlichus, shouldn't it follow the rules of Truma? Meaning instead of saying, oh, because there's a Drasha by Truma, so that's where I learned that you need the Das of the Bailim. Petach Hamar, you don't need Das of the Bailim, you could do it on your own. Yeah, there's a drasha by Truma that there's something called shlichus, and that's where we know all of shlichus from. So, and yet we apply shlichus to everywhere. So we should apply that din to everywhere as well. The din that you need das habaylim to everywhere as well. So that's a major discussion that the Achronim, Narit Al-Ghazi, and others have to try to figure out why it is that we only learn shlichus from... We're willing to learn shlichus from Truma, but we're not willing to learn the idea that you need l'da'atchem, certainly according to Tosfos, from Truma. Okay, says Gemara Vayta now. Achas bikra v'achas shelo bikra. So you have one animal that already had a firstborn and the other one that didn't, and they're both nichnas l'dir li'as aser. So the Gemara explains what's the case where the seh of Pidyon Petach Hamar is going to be chayv ma'isa behema, is going to be counted toward the ma'isa behema. So Tad Rabbanan, Ketzad Amru nichnas l'dir li'as aser. What exactly is the case? What sort of sheep that's used for Pidyon Petach Hamar are we ever going to say is going to have to be put into the pen with the other sheep to be counted for Maisa Behema? It cannot possibly be referring to a set that you use for Pidyon Petach Hamar and you've already given to the Kohen. Shari Shaninu, because it says by Maisa Behema, Halakuach, Vishenita lo b'matana, Potter, Maisa Behema. An animal that was purchased or was given to the Kohen as a matana is Potter from Maisa Behema. So the Kohen, when he gets the set in exchange for the Hamar, that says, not Chayv Maisa Behema. It was given to him, and therefore he's Potter from Maisa Behema. So what's the case where the set of Petach Hamar is ever going to be Chayv Maisa Behema? Elo B'Yisrael Shehila Asar Asav Pitzvei Hamar B'toch Beso. Case must be that you have a Yisrael that has 10 Suffolk Petach Hamars in his house. So he takes 10 different sheep in order to take away the Isra Hana'ah, because we pass on the Rabbi Yehuda, the Isra Hana'ah that those Petach Hamars have, but he doesn't have to give it to a Kohen because they were all Safek Petach Hamars. So Ma'asran Vein Shalom. So he can take Ma'asra Behema from them, and then they belong to him. Now obviously the 10th one is brought as a Karban, and he gets to eat it, and the other 9 are Mamishes. He can do whatever he wants with them, because once he was Poda Safek Pitzvei Hamar with them, the Kohen cannot be Toveah him for those sheep, because Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya, and it's a suffix. Mesayed Rav Nachman, there's a raya to Rav Nachman, Nam Rav Nachman, Nam Rav Ravua, Yisrael, Shayla, Asar, Safik, Pitzri Chamorim, Mafra Shalein, Asar, Sayin, Uma Asaran, Vehin Shalom. And he said exactly the same thing, that if you have 10 Safik, Pitzri Chamorim, so you can take 10 different sheep and be pod to them in order to remove whatever Isser there might be on that Chamor, but you know, then don't have to follow up and give it to the Kohen, because Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya. Vam Rav Nachman, Nam Rav Ravua, Yisrael, Shayla, Asar, Pitzri Chamorim, Vado, not suffic. Now we're changing the case a little. You have 10 pitrei chamors that are vadai petra chamors, but where did you get them from? Shenoflum beis avi imo kohen. You inherited them from your kohen grandfather. Va'oso avi imo kohen noflo mi beis avi imo Yisrael. And that kohen grandfather inherited them from his Yisrael grandfather. So they had kedushas petra chamor, and they had a chi of pidyon because they started by Yisrael. So the Cohen, grandson of the initial Yisrael owner, was chayv to be mafrish, saying for to be poda from their kedusha. But since he's a Cohen, he doesn't have to give those sheep to anybody. He gets to keep those sheep. And now it was passed on to his grandson, who's a Yisrael. So mafrish alein asar saying the Yisrael, the great great grandson of the original owner, should be mafrish ten saying uma asran vein shalom. And he takes maestros, but he gets to keep it. He doesn't have to give it to a Kohen because his grandfather was already Zoche in the right to be able to keep those Sayin, and so he's allowed to be Morish that to his grandchild. Similar halacha. Yisrael Shailo Tevalim Mimurachin. Yisrael had Peros of Tevel that they've already had a Gemar Malacha, so they're already Chayv and Maestros. B'toch Beiso, where did he get these from though? Shenaflim Beis Avi Imo Kohen. He inherited them from his grandfather, the Kohen. Now a Kohen has to be Mafresh Truma, but then he doesn't have to give it to anybody. He could keep it for himself because Truma goes to a Kohen. Obviously, Maestro Rishon is going to have to give to a Levi, but the Truma he can keep for himself. This part seems unnecessary for the case, but the Gemara tells us that the Avi Imo Kohen himself only got it from Avi Imo Yisrael, from his grandfather who is Yisrael. So the great-great-grandchild of the original owner can take the Maisos, but he gets to keep the Truma, since his grandfather, the Kohen, would have been allowed to keep the Truma. He's allowed to keep the Truma as well. Now by Truma, there's an Isser, Zar is not allowed to eat the Truma, but the point over here is that he can sell it to a Kohen. Normally you have to give Truma to a Kohen, but since as far as the Dinim Mamonis of this Truma belonged to his grandfather, so it's his, well, he's not allowed to eat it because he's not a Kohen, he's at least allowed to sell it to a Kohen. So says Mar Utsricha, Rav Nachman had to tell me both of these Dinim. Diashmin Kamaisa, if he only would have told me the first Din about Petra Chamor, so I would have said, yeah, he doesn't have to give those Sayin to a Kohen, Mishum to come Mafresh Bekai, because the Seh is a different min from the chamor, so there's no hafrasha that really needs to be done. It's just the kedusha gets transferred from one to the other. So it's as if the chamorim and the seyin were each a separate yerusha, and since the kohen didn't have to give the seyin to another kohen, so his grandson won't have to give it to a kohen either. Aval hacha matanu shalhumur kamisha lo hurmudamyan. But maybe when you're dealing with tevel where the truma has not yet been hufrash from it, so then it's as if the truma has never been hufrash from it. Say malo, I would say that the peros go back to the original iser, and you the zechus of the avi imo kohen has nothing to do with the truma that you're ultimately going to be mafresh, because the truma was not yet hufrash when it was in his hands. So viashmin hacha, and if it only would have told me the case of the truma, I would say devshal asuri minei ubei to hamanach. I would say yeah, by trumas from maestros, since the trumas are going to be taken from this pile of produce that he inherited anyway, so that's where you're going to be more yoresh the zechus in the truma as well. Aval hasam, but by the pidyon petra chamor, even the semi alma by yasuya mafresh v'kai, since you're going to have to bring a sheep from outside of these pitrei chamorim that you were yoresh, say emalo, I would think that you don't get to inherit those sheep from the right to keep that sheep from your grandfather. Tzricha, that's why Rav Nachman has to tell me both of these dinim, both by petra chamor that yarshin and by truma, by tevel that yarshin. Amr of Shimon bar Nasan, Amr of Chanina, halokeach tevelim mimurachin mina ovid kuchavim ma'asran vein shalo. If a person buys tevel that already has a gemar melacha from an ovid kuchavim, so he's mafresh shumas maestros and he gets to keep it because the guy who sold it to him was not chayv in maestros. The Yisrael who buys it, the zchus mamon of the peros that were not that is not chayv to give to the Kohen. But since the Truma is Asr Ba'achil L'Yisrael, he has to sell it to a Kohen. So it says, well, wait a second, what exactly is the case? Demarchinu Man, who's the one that did the Gemar Malacha of these Peros? Elim Demarchinu Ovid Chavim, if it's the Ovid Chavim that did the Gemar Malacha, well, the Ganacham, Rachman of the Ganacham Ovid Chavim, then there should be no Chiyav whatsoever of Trumas Maestros on these Peros, because it's a Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Yechayv Mimafrish on the Ganacha, not on Dagan of Ovid Chavim, and this became Dagan, Biyad Ovid Chavim, so the Chiyav Trumas Maestros should have never been Chal. El demarchinu Yisrael mirshus ovid chavim. It must be that the Yisrael did the miruach of these peros, working as the aris of the ovid chavim, working as the sharecropper of the ovid chavim. So ma'asran denkin levchem beretz Yisrael afkiyam yad meiser. They're chayvim meisros because the kinyan of the ovid chavim doesn't take away the chiyuv of meiser. So since the gemar melacha was done by Yisrael, they're still chayvim trumas meisros. Vehin shalom, but nevertheless, the Yisrael gets to keep people's trumas and maestros, and he doesn't have to give them to a kohen b'matana da amarle, because the artist could tell the kohen or the levi who wants the truma or the maestro rishon from him. I am representing a person who you never could have been toveya. You never could have asked for these trumas from the person that I'm coming mikoach. You never could have asked for maestro rishon from the person that I'm coming mikocho, because he himself was never even chayv in the hafrasha. So when I got peros from him, I'm mekabel the zuchus mammon of those payrolls. Ritual law, that's a different situation. That's why I have to be mafresh, shumas and maestros. But monetary law, these are the payrolls that belong to the guy, and the guy has no chiyuv mammon to give them to you. So Tanan Hassan, the Gemara asks on this from a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah Maseches Demai. Hamafkid peros of Eitzal Akuti v'Eitzal Amaretz. Person gives his, as a pikadon, his peros to Akuti or to an Amaretz, b'chaskas on the Maestro L'Shvias. If the peros had maestros taken from them prior to you giving them as a pikadon, you don't have to worry that maybe he switched them out and now you have new peros of Tevel that you have to deal with. And if you were mafkid peros that were not Shemitah produce, even though right now it might be a Shemitah year, you don't have to worry that maybe he stuck in Shemitah produce instead. Eitzel Ovid Chavim Kippei Rosav. If you if you gave it to an Ovid Chavim, then you have to assume it has the same status as any peros that you're getting from an Ovid Chavim, because he definitely would have switched it out, and therefore you're going to have to be mafresh Trumas and Maestros, and in Shemitah you're going to have to have a Chiv Biur. Rabbi Shimon Omer Demai. Rabbi Shimon says peros that you're mafked by an Ovid Chavim, it's considered a suffix. We consider it like Demai. So Amar Ablazer Lahafresh Kuliyam Lo Pligi. Both the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon agree that when you take those peros back from the Ovid Chavim, you're going to have to be mafresh Trumas and Maestros, because you have to assume he might have switched it out. Ki pligi, what are they arguing about? Litnan the Kohen. Do you then have to take those trumas and give them to a Kohen? Tanakama suffered vade chalfinu. Tanakama holds it's not a suffix. He definitely switched them out. Ubay masin the Kohen, and therefore you absolutely have to give it to a Kohen. Rabbi Shimon suffered demai, and Rabbi Shimon holds it. No, it's demai. It's a suffix, and therefore you don't have to give it to a Kohen. You could sell it to a Kohen. And the same is true if it's perish of Yisrael that are given to a guy, and there's a suffix. If he was mad with them, they mafresh shuma meisur, but you don't give it to a Kohen. So Yosef Avdimi, so the Gemara now is going to say the kasha. All this is to introduce a kasha. So yes, Rav Dimi v'kamei la shmeita. Rav Dimi was saying over what Rabbi Lazar, how Rabbi Lazar explained the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon about the peros that you were mafkid by a guy, whether you have to give it to a coin or not. So I'm like, Abai, time of the masafkal and yichalfinu leil chalfinu. Oh, it's only because you're not sure whether he switched it or not. But havade chalfinu, let's say you knew for sure that he switched it out, then dukuli alma bayilim asfinu lekamein. Then even Rabbi Shimon would be moded to the Tanakama that you have to give those maestros to a Kohen, and that's the kasha, because va'amar Rabbi Shmuel, amar Rabbi Chanina, halokeach tvol menovit chavim memorachin ma'asin vehin shalom, that we said that if you buy peros that already had a gemar malacha, yeah, you have to take the maestros from it, but vehin shalom, you get to keep it, even when it's vaday shal guy. Nevertheless, the guy who gets it from the guy is ma'aser, but he doesn't have to give it to the Kohen, because the zuchus mamon he gets. So why should it be any different? Says Gemara, no, Dilma kan b'tshuma gedola, kan b'tshumas meiser. Maybe the machlokes Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon is only by tshuma gedola. That's where the Tanakam says you're going to have to give it to a Kohen, even if you buy the peros from a Nachri. But even if you took the peros from a Nachri. But when Rabbi Chanina says that the Masr Vein Shalom, that's talking about tshumas meiser. It's not talking about tshuma gedola. So I'm a Amalei Askar to Milsus Habayis. Says Rav Dimi, oh, that I'm glad you mentioned this chilik between Shum Gadol and Shumas Meiser. You reminded me of something. Damar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, meaning you reminded me of something I heard about such a chilik. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said, Minayin lokech tvalim and marachim and avik chamish upatim and Shumas Meiser. From where do we know that if you buy tvalim and marachim, you buy tevel that already had gemar melacha from an akum that it's potter from Shumas Meiser? Shenemar velalvim tadaber v'amartalem. So we darshan tvalim shata lokeach mebnei Yisrael atamar shemen shumas meiser benosan lekohen. When do you have to give shumas meiser to a kohen? Only when you buy the produce from Yisrael. But tvalim shata lokeach menovik chavim iatamar shemen shumas meiser benosan lekohen. But whatever a tevel you buy from an akum, you don't need to be mafresh shumas meiser and give it to a kohen. And that's where Shmuel Amar Rabbi Chanina said that maasron vein shalom. You get to keep it. Yes, you have to take meisros, but you get to keep it. Last little piece before the Mishnah, the imes nenimba. We said that if you're poda chamor with a seh, and then the seh dies, you're allowed to get hana'ah from that seh. So Gemara says, well, wait a second. Demis hecha. When exactly did that seh die? Ilema demis pe kohen. If you already gave the seh to the kohen, and then the seh died, v'nena bo kohen, and that's the Mishnah telling us, oh, great chiddush, that the kohen who took that seh as an exchange for the chamor, he's allowed to get hana'ah from it after it dies. Pshita, mamona didehu. It's his mamon. Of course he's allowed to get hana'ah from it. Why would you have ever assumed otherwise? Ella demis bebailim. Now the case is that the seh died before you ever gave it to the kohen. You had already exchanged it for the chamor, but you had never done the nesina to the kohen. V'nena ba kohen. And the now that it's dead, the mishnah is being mechadesh that even in such a case, the kohen is allowed to get hana from the seh. Says Mar Hanami Pshita. That's also pashut. Why would the mishnah have to tell me that? Meaning, if you give the seh to the kohen when it's alive, he's allowed to get hana from it. You give it to him when it's dead, he should be allowed to get hana from it. Says Mar. No, it is a chiddush. Because salkadai techamina kol kamed lamatul liyad. I might have thought that so long as the seh doesn't get to the kohen's hands, he's not zochet, it's not his mamon, and therefore kamash mulan. It's telling us demeina da'afreshe bereshusay de kohen kai. From the moment that you ever mafresh that seh, it's considered to be bereshus hakohen, and therefore if it dies before it's baliyada kohen, he has the reshus to be mishtamish po. Post can use this as one of the rayas in the discussion of when exactly one is supposed to recite the bracha on pidyon petach hamar. Is it when you give it to the Kohen or at the Shas Pidyon? Well, the Gemara says everything already really happens at the Shas Pidyon. So Pashtus is that you say the Bracha, and I think if you saw those videos, I think that's when they did it, right? At the Shas Pidyon, even though the Kohen is right there, so they gave it to the Kohen also. But that's the Chora when the Bracha should be recited for Pidyon Petach. Tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the top of Yud Beis Amid Aleph.